You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. The podcast.
New vibes right there. New vibes to start the week.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max for the first time. That's right, Key.
Yes, congratulations. You've made it to the mountaintop.
I made it to the mornings.
You made it. You have finally made it after all these years of hard work and putting in hours to get to Keyshawn and Jay. We finally have arrived to this, but congratulations. You will now be with us for the next 4 hours.
Well,
let's see how it goes.
All I can tell you is when you get up, at the time, like, I got 3:30 this morning, right?
Yeah.
First of all, it sucks. It's hard. It's all that stuff. But once you get going, you know what you really feel like about the rest of the world? Damn, y'all are lazy.
Y'all late.
Still
y'all
sleeping.
Late to the game.
Boy, you really feel morally superior to everybody when you're up in the morning. Wait. Damn, y'all are sleeping and I'm productive.
Keep telling, wait until I hit around 10:15. I would see Max walking. He'd be like, man, you look tired. I'm like, You're going to learn today, Max. You're going to learn today.
You'll be fine, man. Just make sure whatever you do, stay off your damn phone. And close your eyes every 20 minutes or so and stop worrying about who's tweeting, who's socializing. If you get your sleep, you'll be good because you're going to need this energy. Imagine what I'm doing on the West Coast. I'm at 1 a.m. So I'm going to bed with babies.
Yeah.
Waking up, you know.
But you're on the West Coast. It doesn't get.
You don't hear no babies in that house.
Stop it. He's a.
You're on the babies on the left
you
wing.
You seen Key yesterday on Labor Day. The thing is, every day in L.A. feels like Labor Day. Sun's shining. Everybody's happy. Get out of here with that. It's 1 a.m. You got no sob story here. Look.
No. It. Think about it, though. 1 a.m. Then I got to come back with you guys next week. And the time change is going. Now, what you think I got to go through?
Yeah.
Now I got to deal with the
violins.
Time change again.
Yeah. You want some violins?
Get the small violins out for kids.
Yeah.
Small ones.
Nice try, though. Like the shirt. I'm not going to lie. I like the Lakers
Yo,
shirt.
Yo, it does look different, man, seeing Russ, Bron, and AD together, though. That's damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
That looks different.
It's the oldie but goodie, I would say, right? I know our team is going to be stacked, but then as I start thinking about the ages – I was like, damn, even when we tried this with Karl Malone and GP, they were old, but we had a bunch of young wolves still. We ain't really got no young wolves, man.
No, Kalen Horton Tucker.
Rondo, right? Dwight Howard, Gasol. We got
a Malik Monk.
Dinosaur.
You got Kendrick Nunn. Y'all all right. Y'all are good. You got some
no,
young
we
wolves.
Good,
Monk and Kendrick Nunn.
I mean, come on, man. You know what I'm saying. When we had the old heads back then, we still had young Kobe. We don't have a young Kobe right now.
By the way, and that squad didn't win. That squad got there, but they didn't win.
And we didn't win.
Yeah, but the big difference is all three of these dudes are still playing at second half Westbrook. He's always readjusting to a new team. All three of these dudes are still playing at MVP or near MVP level. That was not Karl Malone and Gary Payton at that time.
Hey, check this
and
out,
Key,
though.
You got championship Rondo, man, for that second unit.
Oh,
man.
No,
y'all
good.
Straight.
I'm not tripping at all, but check this out. You like the three. But look at the wording underneath.
Lakers, big.
We can't see the bottom. Yeah, you got to pick it up a little
reloaded.
More.
Sorry, we're going to see that big three
big
versus Brooklyn.
Yeah,
big
reloaded.
Three.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
There you go.
It's not going to end well if Brooklyn's healthy. Unfortunately,
yeah,
it's not
going
to
end well.
The healthy part is the part, Max.
Right.
No,
part.
Max, no.
Yeah.
Brooklyn can be healthy. We're not worried about them.
We're worried about us.
All right. Yes. And we also worried about this show. Kick it off, Max.
Yeah, that's right. Look, there's a lot of football to talk about. Here's the question, all right? Which NFL game is going to reveal the most? Like, what are you looking forward to tell you the most about this season, week one? Key, week one.
I would say it's going to be the Saints in Green Bay, right, because of Jameis Winston. No Michael Thomas. Jameis is entering in a situation where he now is taking over for Drew Brees. He fought off Taysom Hill as a starter. He gets a real opportunity with a real play caller who's not going to allow him to throw the ball 50 times a game unless he needs to for some odd reason. So I'm looking forward to seeing if he can keep those turnovers down, and I think he will. And they'll get Michael Thomas back in about 5 to 6 weeks or so, and so he'll get that extra boost coming back with him. And you already know what Kamara is. You know what they have in Sean Payton, offensive play caller. So I'm looking at that.
See, Keith, coming out of your comment, the question is, will KJM be breaking the news when Michael Thomas comes back to play? Will we be breaking the news, yeah. Keith?
Come on.
I don't know anything about anything about anything.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I hear what you're saying on Jameis Winston, and I think that's an opportunity for him to really, really grab New Orleans, considering everything they're going through, and be that guy, similar to the way Drew Brees was when they came off Hurricane Katrina. But the interesting storyline for me, an interesting game, will be the divisional matchup, man, between the Dolphins and the Pats. Like, watching Tua, his second year, the storyline that last year he was like, look, I didn't take the playbook seriously. He spent the entire offseason being down there, working out with Brian Flores, making sure that they're on the same page, and going against, obviously, Mac Jones. And the situation with, you know, is Cam not being there the right move? Obviously, Mac Jones is going to take the leadership role of this team. Can he get the Pats to a place, like Dan Orlovsky said, that he thinks it can be a tier right below the Buffalo Bills in the AFC? Look, they're big opportunities. I think that first game really sets the tone for where we're going to see both teams in that division.
Oh, I mean, I think those are both good picks. Unfortunately, gentlemen, I can't accept either answer. It's incorrect. That's both fair. Of them are incorrect. Look, Jameis has looked really good, and everyone's talking about how good Jameis is looking. But without your guy, Key, I don't know. I don't think you get the full picture until Michael Thomas comes back.
Well, that's the reason. But Max, that's the reason it's about Jameis, right? It's about the 30 interceptions, 30 touchdowns. Yep. That's all we talked about for 2 years with Jameis Winston. So now, without Michael Thomas, if he could lift this team past Green Bay, and even if they lose the game, right, and he plays well,
you want to see how he looks.
You would think, okay, how does he look?
Yeah,
that's what you're looking for.
And by the way, he couldn't look much better, right, in the preseason. And I would say Miami and the Patriots, everyone wants to automate. Me too. I'll put the Bills number one in the division, biggest threat to the Chiefs in the AFC. I would say the Bills.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'm not positive. I don't know that they're going to be better. If Tua has his development year two, when the quarterbacks are supposed to, you just never know. And the Patriots are loaded, right? Let's see.
But the Max, though. Yeah. You say the Tua's loaded, right? But think about it. They're flirting with a possibility of a Deshaun Watson, whether you want to believe it or not.
Oh, you're right.
And so they must not feel too strong about their quarterback situation if they're flirting with something.
Well, that's Deshaun Watson, though, Key. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people will be flirting with Deshaun Watson if they had a chance to get Deshaun Watson.
But like, for example, the Chargers would.
I was just about to say that. Max, right. I was about to say Los Angeles
Justin
Chargers.
Herbert.
I mean, wasn't. Right.
By the way, the Bengals might not even. But so, in other words, Tua came out with those dudes, and already his ceiling is seen as different than those guys. Key,
absolutely.
I hear what you're saying. But let me tell you the game that I am waiting for week one that will tell me a lot. It's Chiefs and Browns. And the reason is Kansas City, why did they lose the Super Bowl? Like, I'll remember one player from that Super Bowl forever, and we all will. And that's Patrick Mahomes, whose numbers looked bad but did superhuman things because he was running for his life behind a line that was missing both offensive tackles, three dudes off the line. And that's really why they had no shot in the game. They had no offensive line, right? They could not have done more in the offseason to address that. Like, when I look at the Giants, my beloved New York football Giants, and Gettleman, oh, we're going to fix the line. 3 years later, it's
never
worse than ever.
Agreed.
These dudes went out in this offseason, Key. They got the best left tackle on the market. They got the best guard on the market. They brought in a center who was starting for the Rams. I'm like, oh, Blythe, he's going to be good. And then picked up a Humphrey from the center, the right, center, who's looking better than like, he's probably going to start over Blythe.
They brought Kyle Long out of retirement, although he got injured. I don't know what his status is right now. But, yo, look, Kansas City, Cleveland is a big one because of Cleveland, the offensive line, much like you mentioned, Max. But we could go down a long laundry list of teams and opportunities, right? Baltimore in Las Vegas. What does that look like with no Dobbins in the backfield? The Raiders got to prove themselves on the defensive side of the ball. What are the Chargers? Are the Chargers for real? Is it going to be a sophomore type situation with them? Are they going to continue to grow? What about the Dallas Cowboys, right? The Dallas Cowboys, what is that? I mean, we could go around the league and pick apart a whole bunch of teams and find answers. hopefully after week one.
That's why we were supposed to pick one game, just one.
I think the Chiefs are the Super Bowl contenders out of the AFC.
Especially the way the Browns played against them last year.
You got a billboard? You got a billboard to read? Who's got a billboard?
I got it.
Okay, good.
Does the thought of selling your motorcycle, ATV, or vehicle already make you exhausted? Obviously, I've thought about this before. There's no need to keep putting it off because RumbleOn.com makes selling easy. You have a cash offer in minutes and a free pickup. Harley, Polaris, Can-Am, Yamaha. Trade in or sell. RumbleOn will pay cash no matter what the make or the model. Visit RumbleOn.com today and enter promo code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, to get a $300 increase on your cash offer. Fast bikes, faster cash.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Zach Martin has tested positive, so he's in the COVID protocol.
Should be the five-day window. With Zach Martin, assuming he's vaccinated, he would have had to have tested positive. It's the only way that he can get on the COVID list.
That's the only one so far. Hopefully the only one.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2, wherever you get. Wait, podcast, it's everywhere. All right. You can be a part of KJM Nation. It's a nation already, apparently. It's day one for me. It's a nation. On the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call-in line at Key, J, and Max or 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. All right, guys. Ndamukong Suh, I butchered his name just now.
So he's been around for 15 years,
and I still can't say Ndamukong Suh. Activated by the Bucks. Meantime, as you just heard, the Cowboys lose Zach Martin. How concerned, Key, should we be about Dak Prescott week one?
Well, I think in terms of Dak Prescott, I don't think there should be any concern about him physically. I think he'll be fine. I think that shoulder's fine. I think the ankle's fine. They wouldn't put him out there. But losing Zach Martin, let's not forget about that. Losing Zach Martin, you talk about that right side of the offensive line. Lyle Collins, you talk about the strength of what they do. They run the ball extremely well when all those guys are healthy and playing with Ezekiel Elliott. Protection-wise, when you are facing the top defense in the National Football League a year ago that won the Super Bowl, I mean, just think about it. JPP, a former New York Giant. I hated to say that to you, Max and Jay, but he's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? Devin White at the linebacker position.
Ndamukong
Suh, hungry. Yeah. Like, he just eats up offensive linemen. I can just go on and on and on naming the front seven of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When you don't have your offensive line intact, it's trouble.
Forgot one, too, even with Vita Vea. I mean, who's
Vita Vea.
Yeah.
Vita Vea.
Jay, you heard what Key said. The thing about O-lines is if there's a weak link, it'll be exploited. And the thing about the Bucs is we just saw them exploit two O-lines last seen, NFC Championship game, and then in the Super Bowl. They got guys. They don't have to bring extra guys to get you, especially if Key's not worried about Dak. Shoulder's fine or he wouldn't be out there. But – first the lower extremity, then you got to make that up somehow, then the shoulder. Now the O-line, this is not your slightly older cousin's offensive line the Cowboys used to run out there, right? Now the O-line, are you worried about Dak?
It sounds like you're worried because I know I'm worried. because I'm worried that it's maybe not where Dak is physically, but Ezekiel Elliott said the other day that Zach Martin is their best offensive player. So now I get worried about Ezekiel Elliott. How will they be able to run the ball, especially after seeing that O-line depleted last year? And the one thing that does worry me, Max, is that it brings me back to what happened last year. Last year, I saw Dak single-handedly try to keep the Cowboys in every single game, and he was running for his life based upon his arm. And if Zach Martin is out, and if he's one of the top people to protect a guy like Dak Prescott coming off injury against that great defense of Tampa Bay, I don't understand how you're not worried about a game like this.
Yeah, I would say my
See, the game is different, though, Jay.
Why? What? How so, Keith?
What do you mean?
No, because you said worried about the game.
No, yes. No. Right. We're talking about
Worrying about the game is different than worrying about Dak.
Clearly, we're talking about Dak's
Dak
health.
Being part of the game and his health, yes.
But this key, this is for you, because football's dangerous. Every snap could be
really?
Your last, right? Like, that's the way it is. So Dak facing a defense like that, coming off a couple of different injuries, and obviously just got the bag, right? They paid him finally last year, and then he gets – while he's hurt – what is the so Jay is obviously concerned, you less so. Where do you draw the line? Like, how do, as someone who played in the NFL for many years, when do you get concerned about a guy's health, if not your star quarterback who just got paid, coming off a couple different injuries, offensive line hurt, facing a great defense? If that's not the time to get a little concerned, when would you?
Well, here's what I would say. Todd Bowles is known to bring the heat. Once they start bringing the heat, and they don't have to bring extra guys out of the secondary or the linebacker position to get to the quarterback, but Todd Bowles is known for that. And once he starts dialing it up and Dak has to get rid of the ball and get it out of his hands quick, and he's incomplete in Paul, he's not completing passes, they're incomplete, balls are flying all over the place, that's when you start to worry, because now they know that they can't protect him and he can't get out of harm's way. So they're going to try to prove, oh, okay, if he's so healthy, let's see if he can handle this heat that I'm bringing you. Now that's when I start to say, okay, now I'm worried about it. I'm worried about him taking a pounding and a beating because they can't protect him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but
don't
it
you
sounds
feel like
that
that's
going to
happen. That's going to happen.
Yeah, man.
Well, I don't know that it's going to happen, because they may have an answer for what Tampa Bay is going to come with. If Tampa Bay's bringing, you know, people out of the secondary, they may say, we can three-step drive, get the ball out quick, we're getting rid of it. And now if he's completing those balls, or they're gashing him in the running game, even though the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are stout against the rush
exactly.
defense, you sit there and you go, okay, but if somehow they find a little bit of a crack in that defense, now if you're Todd Bowles, you got to back off.
But see, Key, you know, when you say that Tampa Bay has a stout rush defense, that is the case. And if the O-line is somewhat depleted, and if you're hearing Ezekiel Elliott say that Zach Martin gives me my best chance to run against his back, he's our best offensive player, if the ball's in Dak Prescott's hands a lot, if we're watching the first quarter and they can't really run the ball, and we start seeing Dak start getting pressured and he's starting to get hit very hard, I don't know how you don't have concern as a Dallas Cowboys. I'm not even a Cowboys fan, and I have concern for Dak.
Yeah, well, first of all, the Bucs defense just period. That linebacker tandem is
yes.
like as good as it gets. They like yes. they just have a really good defense, period. But, Key, it doesn't bother me if Dak is throwing, like, passing a lot on early downs early in the game. They got, you know, other than the Bucs, actually, if you had to pick the top three receivers on any team, you'd probably take Dallas other than Tampa, right? So it doesn't bother
me
if Dak's,
you know,
if Dak's passing
Cooper.
Early.
Gallup, Cooper, and CeeDee Lamb is a pretty good trio. There's no question about it. But the thing is when you look at what they present in early downs, yeah, you may want to throw the ball to try to negate some of the pass rush, but you got to get the ball out quick, though, Max. You
yeah,
cannot sit there and hold on and pat that baby to sleep, because before you know it, they're on your ass.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, Tampa's loaded. Brought all 22 back. Everyone's talking about it. They were loaded before last year even, and it's gotten, you know, better and better, or worse and worse for everyone else. How about this? I hear this a lot. Dak Prescott is the guy facing the most pressure. I don't understand this personally, okay? And I'll get to – but, like, I want to start, Jay, with you. Is Dak Prescott facing the most pressure?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
No. No, I don't think so.
I was all ready for a debate.
No.
All first takey, ready for a debate right there. I didn't get it.
That's Matthew Stafford. That's the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
That's who Sean McVay and Les Snead let Jared Goff go for to win a Super Bowl. That's easy.
Key, is he facing a lot of pressure, Dak?
No, you know what? I think he's facing some pressure because of the amount of money that you give a guy. Whenever you give a guy $150 million of guaranteed cash flow, people are going to expect for you to do a certain thing. So, yeah, he's facing some pressure. But I wouldn't necessarily say it's the most pressure in the National Football League this year.
I think he's facing among the least pressure of any quarterback. First of all, he just got paid. You say that adds the pressure. He got his money. Got a big guarantee, right? Secondly, he got hurt. Thirdly, we're all invested in him, as is the team. He's got weapons everywhere. Think of all the things we're going to blame if Dak doesn't do great. And by the way, he had a great year a couple years ago. They went 8-8 because of the defense.
We'll
right?
blame Mike McCarthy before we take Dak.
We're going to blame. Well, Zach Martin's not still available
it's
week one.
Though, man. Money. Money drives
I'm saying,
pressure.
Of course, you're the Dallas Cowboys quarterback and you just got $100 million. Of course, there's pressure. But we're going to point to the offensive line. Well, Zach Martin missed early and this and that. We're going to point to the defense. Even Dan Quinn made it a little better, but it was the worst ever the year before. And eventually, we'll point to the coach. Guys, it'll be two NFL seasons of Dak not playing well, which is unlikely, before people point the finger at Dak. We will blame everybody around Dak. Meantime, Matt Stafford better win his play, better make the playoffs and better win that first playoff game this year. That dude is facing pressure. All right. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Up next, the five things the Key needs you to know about week one of the college football season. That's after Key tells you about Dr. Pepper.
College football fans, after an offseason that felt a little more off than usual, Fanville and Dr. Pepper invite you to celebrate because college football is back, and so are the fans. Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Again, the season of Saturdays when rivalries run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even deeper. So crack open your ice-cold Dr. Pepper and warm up a cornhole-tossing arm and return to glory with all new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper. The ones the fans deserve.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
All right, time for SportsCenter right now. I got to get my announcer voice on. Top-seeded Novak Djokovic advances.
Don't do it that way.
To the U.S. Open quarterfinals. Djokovic, by the way, Djokovic might be the greatest tennis player who ever lived, right? Like, there's a good argument. Pulled away to defeat 99th-ranked American Jenson Brooksby. Keep alive his hopes for the first calendar year Grand Slam by a men's player since 1969. Djokovic improved to 25-0 in majors this year. Meantime, UConn coach Randy Edsall stepping down immediately. Monday's announcement came one day after Edsall, 63, announced he would retire at the end of the season. The school said that Edsall and AD David Benedict had come to a mutual decision that is in the best interest of the UConn football program for Edsall to step aside immediately. Then the Blue Jays shut out my beloved Yankees. But the Yankees remain atop the AL wild card, which is the important thing. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., chip off the old block at his 40th home run of the season. Marcus Semien went deep twice, and the Toronto Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 8-0 on Monday for their fifth straight win. Yanks, after winning 14 in a row, have lost 7 of their last 9 games. And SportsCenter is brought to you by Nature Valley. Music and lyrics, sweet and salty, roasted nuts and creamy nut butter. Nature Valley and the outdoors. Some things are just made for each other. Get 2 great tastes in 1 dually delicious bar with Nature Valley sweet and salty nut bars.
Welcome to the show, baby.
All right. Got me up here saying some things on the mic. Key, the man has me saying some things on the mic to make some money here.
The looks, Key, the looks that I get from Max across from each other are priceless.
Some of the words that come out of my mouth during these reads, I can't believe this. We can say this on the radio even? All right, guys.
What do we got next?
Yeah, what do we got
next? Key's observations.
That's right, Key. You have to give us your key observations. How come I haven't said that once. Key observations.
All right, man. It's the first day. Don't worry.
College football.
By the time 2 weeks, you'll be smooth sailing.
I doubt it, but I appreciate the sentiment. So what key observations do we have, Key, from this past week in college football?
Here we go. Good job. Number one, I would say look at Alabama, right? You look at this young quarterback in Bryce Young. Imagine what he did in slicing up the defense. He went 27 to 38, 344 yards, 4 touchdowns.
That boy good.
The big, big number, though, is 0 interceptions. Yeah. So when you look at that, he is for real out of Alabama. Everyone looked at who is he replacing. Mac Jones, Heisman guy. Oh, my God. Tua. Oh, my God. Oh, he's going to be without Devontae Smith. But they just keep rolling along. And now, all of a sudden, this guy is the second coming. They stole him out of our backyard here in Southern California, though.
All
right. Number two.
The Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Overrated.
What?
They should overrated. They should lose that game against a Florida State team that had to bring McKenzie Milton off the bench to get them engineering drives to score points. If Narvell, the head coach, doesn't do the stupidest thing I could have ever seen, I was screaming at the television set when he decided to go for it on fourth down in a game in the third quarter. When he's in the game, he just handed Notre Dame 7 points. Why would you ever do that to a team that's so overrated? You gift them a W, and you know I hate Notre Dame. Move on.
He's not lying.
Number three.
Wrong.
Number three, UCLA Bruins. The UCLA Bruins, they just might be legit. Or is LSU frauds? Is Coach O overrated? But I can tell you one thing. UCLA is off to a great start. 2-0. They took care of business against LSU this past weekend, the weekend before. They jumped up and down on Hawaii. I think this team is around the state. They're going to make the Pac-12 conference very, very interesting. Their running back, the running game for them is ridiculous. The young quarterback in Thompson, Darian Thompson, is coming along in Chip Kelly's offense. I can't believe that I'm saying that UCLA might be legit. Out of all schools, that doesn't even sound right. Move on.
Go get that
number
Kevin
four.
Number four, after watching college football this past weekend, I think the college football playoff really need to think about that 12-team expansion, because there's going to be some pretty good teams hanging around toward the end of this year. Although they probably won't do it this year, they can do it in the future. You think about some of the teams that will never, ever have an opportunity to play in the Final Four but are good squads. I mean, just look at them. There's going to be a lot of good football teams this year. Oregon will be good. USC will be good. Texas will be good. Oklahoma. The ACC conference is done. Don't tell me anything about overrated ACC in North Carolina or Florida State or Miami or Clemson, for that matter.
Number five.
Speaking of Clemson, number five. Clemson's reign may actually be over with. For whatever reason, it just feels that way. This is not the Clemson Tigers that we saw run down the hill 4 or 5 years ago. This is a totally different team. You can look at this and tell it's not the same. And I know young quarterback in DJU, But he was supposed to be the second coming of Trevor Lawrence. We watched him against Notre Dame last year, and we said, oh, my God, they're not going to miss a beat. Oh, Clemson's going to be rolling. Not so fast. I think Clemson's in trouble, Max. I think they may be in trouble.
I think that's a hell of a list. Keyshawn Johnson, Key Observations is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Okay, you said a whole lot, and we're going to have to get into Clemson. But, Jay, you objected to a couple things. What's on your mind?
Well, if we're going to sit up here and look, Notre Dame had a double-digit lead. I saw Florida State come back, but maybe Florida State's underrated. Like, I'm not going to sit up here and say Notre Dame is overrated, ranked number 9th in the country. Oklahoma barely beat Tulane. Is Oklahoma overrated? UNC.
Key Oklahoma overrated? Key Oklahoma overrated? Yes or no?
No, Oklahoma's not overrated.
They barely beat Tulane. I mean, you're going to sit up here and talk about.
But that's not the my point, though, Jay, is the man handed them 7 points. So when you hand a team 7, and then all of a sudden you make a decision to go with McKenzie Milton at quarterback because the other guy helmet came off and you stuck with him in the fourth quarter, which was a fine situation by Norvell as a head coach. But you decided on fourth down, backed up in your own end, to try and go for it.
In other words, it could have gone
the beginning of the third quarter when you gift them 7 points.
I hear you, but they were down, though. They were down 18 at one point in the game. I mean,
yes, because Jay, I gave them 7.
Jay, when you say, I want to hear it, because to me, there's a bigger point whether Notre Dame is ranked 9th or 5th or 11th or 1st. Doesn't matter, right? Notre Dame has a national following because once upon a time, they were what Alabama has been, right?
Okay.
Man,
it's
been
a long time since
none
then.
Of us was born with our right. ages combined.
Right. It's been a long time. And so they're kind of perpetually overrated, no?
So overrated.
I mean, I don't think so, frankly. I mean, just watching this team with Jay Cohn, the way he played, the transfer of Wisconsin, Mike Mayer, people are talking about calling him, I know the term gets used a lot, Baby Gronk. You know, NFL scouts, I've heard them make mention of him multiple times. Kyle Hamilton, like, who had 2 interceptions, who played his ass off. I've heard professional scouts rave about him.
I just don't see them
being overrated.
I hear the A word being thrown around. Are we allowed to say that on the radio?
Did you see the quarterback for Florida State throwing the balls to Hamilton? He was throwing
Jordan
floaters.
Thomas, yes.
I can get off the hash right now and go get those balls.
But, Key, you can only play who you can play in front of you, though, Key.
Oh, man, stop. Man, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying
so Clemson's
is
overrated
Notre Dame,
too. So Clemson's
well,
overrated,
Clemson
too, because they lost to Georgia.
In a minute, so it doesn't even matter.
So Clemson's overrated, too, because they threw a pick 6 and they lost to Georgia.
Well, I want to get to Clemson,
because you said they're
actually.
Done. You're calling the whole ACC trash.
Hold on. Let's get to Clemson.
Clemson is overrated,
stop.
Buddy boy.
Come on,
they
man.
Are.
Okay, hold on. Let's
stop
get
it.
To let's get to Clemson, because Key talks about Bryce Young, who right away he's not making mistakes that cost you. He's using his mobility, keeping his eyes down the field, throwing
well,
it down.
They look great.
And Alabama is rolling. And a couple years ago, like 2 years ago, I'm thinking, oh, time out. This Alabama dynasty. The fact that, you know, and where Saban is, this is being challenged by Clemson and Dabo right now. No, I don't think it is anymore after that. I don't think it is, guys, because once again, Alabama looks crazy good. They look better than everyone else, and Clemson loses.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you on how Alabama looks, but I'm not going to sit up here and call Clemson overrated because Alabama went up to another notch in what they've been able to achieve. Look, they stole Jameson Williams from our team, Ohio State, and John Mitchell. I get how reloaded they are, and it's incredible to watch. But I'm not going to sit up here and say because Clemson lost in a dogfight to Georgia, it's not
good
like
defense,
Georgia. It's not like Georgia's offense
Georgia,
looked incredible as well.
Georgia,
so we can call Georgia overrated.
Georgia's offense is never going to be good. They got D. Kirby Smart is a defensive mind. That is what he does. He runs and engineers defenses. His teams will never be an offensive juggernaut. So you're going to see a 10-0, a 13-3, a 17-14. That is the way Georgia is going to win football games.
So every team's overrated.
Well, hold up,
with
Jay,
the exception of Alabama.
I understand
saying.
You're just defining overrated differently based on rankings.
You
and,
had
and how
three
tough
teams
the,
in the ACC
the
conference,
is.
Jay, in the top 10.
Oh, I'm not making
three of them lost.
I'm not making excuses for North Carolina, and I'm not making excuses for Miami getting blitzed the way they did at all. I watched the Sam
you
Howell game,
three
and he was
teams.
Horrible.
You had three teams. I said top 10. I mean top 15. You had three teams in the top 15 in the ACC conference. Clemson was one of the big four that we always talk about when we say, give us the big four. Ohio State, Oklahoma, Clemson, Alabama. That's what we do every single year this time.
Now, that, that's
guess
the
what?
Point.
Jay, Clemson, Clemson gave us nothing.
Like, that's the point. Like, in a bit, and even let's expand that even more. It looked like we just blink, and it looked like they were ready for it to be their time because championships, head-to-head, everything, it looked like they had – they. It didn't look like. They had run even with Alabama and could have taken the lead as the premier college football program in the country. Would you say that this morning? Could you possibly make the argument? You can't
anymore.
No, I can't.
But you just can't go back. You can't go back, Jay, and almost call Max.
Oh, geez.
No, I almost said Zubin. But Jay and Max, you can't just look at this game. We go back to last year and look at the game against Ohio State. You just have to you have to start to look at those things and start to see, okay, the shoelaces might be coming untied right now. Mm. When you go back and you start just looking at it, that's how I assess it.
Well, it is going to be interesting when we get through the ACC schedule because Clemson really doesn't play anybody until the ACC championship. But it's not like Clemson can't be in the Final Four. It's not like Clemson can't progressively get better throughout the course of the year. Also for DJU, I mean,
see,
the quarterback.
I think they shot theirs already. I think they done as far as.
I don't think they're done.
Because if you take, for instance, if there's an Oregon or a USC that comes out of there undefeated in a one-loss Clemson team, I think those two teams in the Pac-12 will get a nod
Let's not bring up the Pac-12. You brought up the Bruins. They are the only ones making the Pac-12 look all right now. Heather Dinich is ready to join us. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. ESPN College Football senior writer Heather Dinich joins us on the Goodyear
Ask
Hotline.
Ask her if she thinks Clemson is
brought
overrated.
Brought to you by Goodyear. With you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Heather, how concerned should Clemson be this morning about missing the college football playoff?
I will answer that question with this fact, okay? No team has lost their season opener and made the college football playoff since this thing began in 2014. It's a big deal. It's significant, okay? And not only was Clemson hurt by the way they played and how they lost, but they were also hurt, guys, by Miami losing and North Carolina losing. Why? Because, as I heard you guys mention before, they have no other ranked opponents in the regular season. They need a ranked opponent to face in the ACC championship game, assuming they get there, because they've got one more shot to impress the selection committee based on this schedule. That's it. And right now, Miami and North Carolina aren't looking that great. So I certainly would not rubber stamp a one-loss ACC champ Clemson this year.
Okay, I'll follow up. We're on a little delay because Key is in L.A. right now. So to avoid any awkwardness, don't we usually all ask questions?
Yes.
All right, look, to avoid any awkwardness, Key brought up that maybe it's time for the college football playoff to expand in his key observations of week one of the college football season. Heather, that's okay with me, provided one thing. It cannot ever be more than a double elimination regular season tournament, right? Like, right now, what's so interesting, and you bring it right up off the bat, if you lose game one, it's hard to make the playoffs. That's what makes it so interesting. The entire regular season is kind of a single to double elimination-ish tournament. If you expand and you lose that, to me, you lose what's special about college football in the regular season. Your thoughts?
Well, everyone needs to temper their expectations about this thing expanding anytime soon. I promise you. I'm going to Rosemont, Illinois later this month, just outside the Big Ten offices, where they're going to meet and they're going to talk about this. And every source I have talked to has said it's highly unlikely that this thing is going to expand before the end of this contract. So let's start there. We're talking about 2025. Beyond that is when it could go to 12 or more. They're going to reassess everything. It might not be 12. Maybe it's 8. Maybe it's 10. I don't know. Eventually, they're going to get there, but I don't think it's going to happen for a while. But to your point, yes, one of the things that people are looking forward to is a little bit more wiggle room. But on the flip side, they could wind up scheduling more big games because they feel like they have more margin for error. So, you know, the, like games like Oregon, Ohio State coming up this weekend, you know, because they say, well, you know, we can afford to lose more than one game, maybe we'll see more of those big-time matchups.
Heather, can the ACC recover? I mean, they had a really, really rough week. When you look at the three teams in the top 14 that lost in Miami, Clemson, you talk about where they were at, Florida State, Louisville, UNC. I mean, can they recover from this?
I'm going to say yes, because, guys, I've been doing this for a long time. This is going to be my 14th, 15th year at ESPN covering college football, and I have seen Ohio State lose to Virginia Tech, go down three quarterbacks, and win the whole thing. I've seen USC be one of the best three-loss teams in the country at the end of the day. I mean, the progress teams can make from week one to selection day can sometimes be phenomenal. So I'm certainly not going to write anyone off after week one. DJ Uiagalelei is really making his first, I know he started before, but this is his year, right? Let's see how much better he gets and the players around him get. Oklahoma, let's see how much better they get. We didn't even mention them yet. So not writing anyone off yet. Everyone should improve.
Heather, when we watch Alabama, and you watch a guy like Bryce Young come out and play the way he did, if you had to give me, like, who are your top three or four in the Heisman voting list after watching first week of the season, where would you have him rank? Would he be number one?
Flat out number one. Absolutely. I mean, this kid, and I say he's a kid, right? Making his first start, he lived up to the hype. I was really impressed by a lot of the starting quarterbacks. CJ Stroud at Ohio State, I thought he got a lot of unfair criticism on Twitter. He went on the road, threw four touchdowns, beat Minnesota. I thought that was pretty impressive, but, you know, he's only 19. So, yeah, I think that Young, off the bat, he's got to be leading it right now.
Go ahead, Key.
No, I was going to say, Heather, after what LSU went through a year ago and then coming out west and playing UCLA and not looking like the LSU from 2 years ago that won the national championship, where does LSU stand right now? Like, where are they at in terms of college football?
Right now, this skinny minute, they're an afterthought. I mean, that's the reality of it. They haven't done anything since 2019. I mean, that team may have been the best team I have ever seen, period. And the downhill trajectory has been very quick. Now, that being said, is this Chip Kelly's season? Is this it? Because it started to look like he put it all together. You know, does the truth lie somewhere in between there as to how good UCLA is and the problems that LSU has? Probably. But I think what we saw from UCLA deserves a lot of credit. I mean, they played tough. That was one of the best games I've seen them play in a long time.
Heather, when you watch Ohio State play, obviously everybody talks about Bama. Oklahoma is barely able to squeeze by Tulane. Georgia had a big win over Clemson. But watching Ohio State come back in that second half behind C.J. Stroud, what did they show you? Do they have a chance to compete to be in the Final Four?
100%. I'm so excited to go to Columbus on Friday, guys, because that's a big game. I'm going to be there for it. And I have Ohio State number two this week ahead of Georgia. And the reason I put them there was because I thought, A, they won an extremely difficult road game, but also, B, the talent around C.J. Stroud is phenomenal. I mean, they just got so many playmakers everywhere. So, yes, I think that they've got a great chance. And Georgia's defense was outstanding. They're legit. But again, how much of that is Georgia being a five-star defense and how much of it was Clemson's offensive line having some real issues?
Well, Stroud was impressive, I thought, Heather, because of the way, like, half, you look at halftime at that game, you wouldn't be like, oh, my God. And then he took off in the second half. That says that Port, you know, says good things.
Yeah, and you know, he made a mistake. He had to get out of his own head there for a little bit, but he did. And I think they've got a lot of confidence in him. And, you know, Ohio State has just done such a good job of rebuilding, reloading. Ryan Day has just been a great coach, and they've all navigated through the pandemic and come out on the right side, at least to this point. I realize we're still in the middle of it. But, you know, just as a program, what he's done there, once again, they're in position to contend for it all.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you, Heather.
Thanks, guys.
Good to see you. All right. The quarterback, well, Keyshawn, I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to. That was ESPN College. No, we're good. The quarterback with the most pressure on him this season is what we're going to talk about coming up, guys. That's what we're going to talk about.
After the break?
Well, yeah, after the break. But real quick, I do think it was the end of a potential kind of era-shifting situation with Clemson and Alabama. And I do think it was up in the air. And what just happened week one, it's weird to say that, week one of a season, Alabama has just put distance between itself and everybody else.
Absolutely.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. Yeah. I mean, watching what Nick Saban has been able to do has been, I mean, talk about adapting and constantly staying up. I mean, look, NIL, I mean, Bryce Young's making seven figures.
Right.
I mean, talk about a coach adapting to a new era and sustaining success. It's incredible to watch.
Key. Quarterback with the most pressure on him this season. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN app, ESPN2. All for your smart speed.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.